back. Hour number two. As you know, and we have been talking about this probably as much as anybody on the internet, the virus is not the message. The virus is really not the pandemic. The vaccine is the pandemic, at least in terms of the desired number of people to be impacted by this whole scam. They want them to be vaccinated. It's not a vaccine. It's an injection. It's a carrier, and it is certainly loaded with admitted nanotech, the nanotech lipids that cover the single-strand mRNA virus in it, which will change your body, its DNA, permanently to create the proteins that the viruses secrete, so you won't have to be infected to get your immune system up to speed on this particular protein. Well, the problem with that is very simple. There is no off switch for your body after it's instructed through DNA changes to begin to produce these proteins. You will produce them until your immune system wears itself out, and then you'll be wide open for any number of other diseases and issues. This is not good, and it's going to happen. People will begin dying in a year, 6 months, 2 years, 3 years. It doesn't matter. Here are a couple of other headlines. Lockdowns have killed millions of people. No question. U.S. life expectancy in 2020 saw the biggest drop since World War II. Lockdowns played a key role in that. Make no mistake. Merck to manufacture Johnson & Johnson's single-shot vaccine. Even though Johnson & Johnson says you're going to need that single shot every year, and Benny Netanyahu is now saying to all Israelis, you may need a shot every 6 months. They want to make damn sure that whatever in this vaccine or vaccines, alleged vaccines, gets into people, as many people as possible. And you remember how Angela Merkel, among, they're all calling for it. The world must be vaccinated. Whenever you're given the bum's rush on anything, back away. And that's what they're doing with this alleged vaccine. We're very fortunate to have a nanotech scientist with us occasionally to talk about this. There are new developments in the war on humanity being waged by those who want everyone to be injected with this dangerous, unproven, alleged vaccine. And we're going to hear about some of that right now with Erica Kahn. Hello, Erica. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being available tonight.
Hi, Jeff. It's good to be back.
Yes, indeed. All right, there's a lot going on. Why don't you just tell us what the latest is in terms of your research and observations?
Well, I came across some information this week from some, I guess it was a scientific advisory board in Europe that has been reviewing the safety of these mRNA vaccines, or just the COVID vaccines, but starting with the mRNA vaccines. And there's more than just a few concerns with these, and it, you know, which might explain, which probably would explain, why so many people are having adverse events, if not outright dying, within days to weeks of receiving these vaccines.
One lady in L.A., I think it was L.A., Southern Cal anyway, died before she completed the 20-minute observation after you get the injection. She died actually sitting there in the room. She was 78. She fell over dead 15 minutes after getting the injection. So it's crazy.
You know, the fact that these incidences are being patently dismissed or regarded as inconsequential or unrelated, I just... You know, when you have repeated instances of this, you know, that's
inconsequential. You're right. That's how they're treating it. Like, it's just par for the course. That's what you get when you roll out a new vaccine. People, accidents happen.
They are trying to blame it on pre-existing conditions. You know, that's a stretch. You could see it in one or two cases, but when it happens repeatedly, I think, there's a pattern here and it's being ignored.
There are apparently a lot more people reporting injuries. We call them adverse reactions at first because sometimes they're long-term, sometimes they're short-term, but they're injuries. We really shouldn't call them long-term or short-term adverse reactions. We should call them what they are. They're vaccine injuries. You stub your toe, you scrape your knee. It's a short-term injury, but it's still an injury.
Yeah, and some of these things don't appear to be reversible. I guess time will tell.
Yeah.
We're still only 2 months into this, but it's alarming. And yet the show goes on.
What about those poor nurses, Erica, who we've all seen the videos? They're literally twitching and in spasm from head to toe, and there's nothing that can be done to help them. They cannot lie down and go to sleep because their body is violently twitching and in spasms, their arms, their legs, their head. One woman's tongue was actually in spasm. We saw that video. So these are terrible, horrific things. These are neurological damages, grave damages. I think these are probably permanent, at least in some of the people. I pray I'm wrong. But if they are permanent, what's going to happen to these people? You can't live like that. You can't sleep.
No. And really, there's no recourse for these people because the manufacturers have no liability. And there was another piece of information that I came across this week. Apparently, some people with life insurance policies who have elected to get these vaccines were alarmed to find out that they're participating in these vaccine trials, that they're actually part of a phase 3 vaccine trial. Well, the fact that they elected to participate in this, knowingly or unknowingly, has now invalidated their life insurance.
Oh, my. Oh,
yes.
No. Oh, this is amazing. All of you out there understand this. When you take that injection, you are a participant in a phase 3 trial of an alleged vaccine. You are a guinea pig. And I didn't know this, but it is probably a little bit of fine print in many or most insurance policies, which is what you're talking about. This is a tragedy. Some of these people have been paying on these policies for 30 years and more.
Mm-hmm.
40 years. And it's all gone?
Yep. Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think the vast majority of people are not aware of the fact that they are a part of the trial. This is phase 3.
No. It's not an approved technology. It's a test. You are participating in a trial. That's a fact. And nobody's being told about it.
No. Nor are they being tracked. The people that I know that have gotten this vaccine, they just show up, they get the jab, and they go on their way. And there's they're not assigned a number. They're not, tracked in any way, shape, or form.
I didn't know this. I think that's a very big issue. Seeing they're in a trial, shouldn't they be tracked?
Yes. And not only that, last month, a few weeks ago, it was announced by either the FDA or the CDC. They said that because the supply chain in these vaccines is not what it should be, that it's okay to mix and match, whether you get Moderna, Pfizer, or at this point AstraZeneca, maybe now Johnson &
really?
Johnson.
So the second shot, you can mix and match. That's what you're saying?
Yes,
I'm sorry, I missed part of that. Wow.
Yes. Mix
wow.
and match, it's okay. So, this just, it's laughable. How is this a
tragically
trial?
So.
You can't even track, who's getting what, when?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And how do you evaluate the response?
I think it's important to point out also that not all vaccines are the mRNA vaccine platform. There are three different platforms that a supposed vaccine can be predicated upon. I understand that. The Sputnik V, I have not heard anything about injuries or deaths like we're hearing with Moderna, Pfizer, probably AstraZeneca, more than who knows how many Johnson & Johnson will produce. We'll find out soon enough. But these are the mRNA vax, and they're being given primarily to Western, white, Christian peoples. African-Americans get them too, of course, but these countries are predominantly Western white countries, and they're getting the Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and soon the Johnson & Johnson. I don't know if Johnson & Johnson is mRNA. I better be specific about that. I don't know, but I suspect it probably is. Now,
it's not. The AstraZeneca, the current AstraZeneca, there's going to be another AstraZeneca coming out soon, but the current one is based on a vector. The Sputnik is based on a vector. Johnson & Johnson is based on a vector. And the vector is another virus. It's called the adenovirus. And what they do is they take this adenovirus, which for the most part is relatively harmless in people, and they genetically modify it to carry the gene for the spike protein. So it's using, you know, genetic technology or genetic modification to produce this immune response. But it's not, it doesn't involve the lipid nanoparticles. It doesn't involve the modified RNA. This is a vector vaccine.
But this one does.
I mean, the vector vaccines do, you know, infiltrate the cell to the level of the DNA. So it goes into the nucleus.
How can they mix? How can they mix and match for a second shot like this? How are they getting away with this?
It's truly shoddy science, to say the least. I don't think they care. I think they want to get people accustomed to having vaccines on a regular basis and just trusting that they're good. They're going to have some benefit. So I think just like the mask wearing, this is kind of a ritual to get people used to a new way of life.
I think you're right.
Somewhat made. Because do we really need a vaccine for a virus that half the people don't even know that they have? They have to be tested to find out that they have it.
It's not the virus. It's the alleged vaccine that I'm sure was the primary goal from the beginning. And they very cleverly work this psychologically so people, many people who don't know any better, demand this vaccine. They think it's going to protect them. They don't have to force it on anybody. The people are lining up in droves all around the country to get it. There's a senior center here, and Jordan Maxwell is living in it. And I went over to see Jordan, and there was one of the people who lived in there came out, and an older lady. And I said, you know, how are we doing here? Anybody sick? No, I don't think so. Since we all got our second shot last week, we are expecting that things are going to get better around here and we'll be able to have more freedoms. They were keeping these people literally locked into the building. They weren't allowed to go out freely. So there's another angle. There's a lot.
People have bought it, hook, line, and sinker. I find it particularly shocking today that, you know, Johnson & Johnson received their emergency use authorization from the FDA, I think, on Friday. And today they've announced that they are going to be testing it in newborns.
What?
Yep.
Newborn, just like getting the hepatitis B vaccine when they're hours old, they're going to give them this crap?
Yes. I know. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. It's apparently people are okay with this. We need to get rid of this coronavirus.
We've got to stop trusting organized medicine. No, we can't. We've got to understand that when we go to a doctor or a hospital, we are ultimately in charge of our health and our well-being, and we are in charge of making decisions. I wouldn't sign anything over to give them power of medical attorney over me. No way.
Mm-hmm.
Not a chance. So Johnson & Johnson, they took the adenovirus, that's A-D-E-N-O, like adeno, adenovirus, the viral vector, and replaced a small piece of its genetic instructions with coronavirus genes for the spike protein to be produced.
Yeah.
All right. So where's the off switch?
Well, supposedly they have eliminated this virus the ability to replicate. So
okay.
They've taken that gene out, supposedly, if you believe them.
Right. not this kid. I don't believe anything they say. Not anymore.
Johnson & Johnson, why wouldn't you believe them?
Right. It's almost a sacred icon, J&J. J&J.
And apparently Merck has partnered with Johnson & Johnson. Merck got out of the vaccine race, but now they are going to partner with Johnson & Johnson to produce their vaccine.
Right, so they're back in it. They're all going to get money. It's all about money.
No liability.
No worries about anybody ever suing you. Just think about that. And now think about your life insurance, your health insurance. Was it life or health, did you say?
It was life insurance.
Wow.
And I'm sure that, you know, this probably slips past many people that have been paying into a policy for years and years and didn't realize that they were participating in a phase 3 clinical trial for an experimental drug.
See, now, to me, that ought to be something that is litigious. You should be able to sue because you weren't fully advised. And there's some kind of a responsibility somewhere that if you're actually taking part unknowingly, you're being duped in a way into a test program for an unproven, unsafe commodity, in this case, an alleged vaccine. You should have a... They shouldn't be able to get away with that. I don't know. It's wrong. I don't know if you can go after the maker of the vaccine, but certainly the administering party or company or whatever should be liable, I would think. Anyway,
I think that's what's being swept under the carpet here, is that, you know, these trials will not be concluded for another 2 years. 2023.
Okay, hold on. So phase 3 is scheduled to go on for another 2 years. That means every single person who receives a vaccine in this country, the Pfizer, I guess, or the Moderna, will be participating in a phase 3 trial for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Wow.
And same with Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca and all these others that are about to be unleashed on us.
See, the military, the military doesn't know that because this is a trial, they do not have to take it. Yes, they're in the military. Anything that has been approved formally and is no longer in some kind of an emergency category, they do not have to take it. And so all of you out there who are in the military or know anybody in the military, tell your friends they do not have to take it, nor do you if you're in. You don't have to.
Nope.
That's very clear.
Yep.
Wow. 2 more years of trial. Here's a quote from the New England Journal of Medicine. Assessment of long-term safety and efficacy of this vaccine will occur, but it cannot be in the context of maintaining a placebo group for the planned follow-up period of 2 years after the second dose. Wow. They're just playing this to the hilt, is what they're doing. And remember, the whole world is being vaccinated. Have you come across anything about Sputnik V having a lot of dead people and permanent injuries like we're seeing over here? Is it happening and we're just not being told?
I believe it is happening and we're just, you know, it's not being publicized. But I've heard, you know, here and there, a few cases. But, you know, I don't think the Russian media is going to broadcast that. I don't think we would necessarily hear about it. But, you know, it's based on the same technology, these vector viruses that, you know, the problem with coronavirus, trying to come up with a vaccine for coronaviruses, is that it tends to have the opposite effect. It tends to sensitize the body to a point where when it encounters the real wild-type virus, it just overreacts, you know, like a bee sting.
Right.
And I don't believe that they've overcome this problem in the span of 6 months.
No.
The problem still exists.
Well,
and I, you know, We can go back to Wuhan, where this thing originated. And if we believe the news that there were, you know, scores of Chinese lethally infected with this virus, there was some speculation early on that the Chinese, they had been working on a coronavirus vaccine since the original SARS back in 2002. And they had come up with many, many prototypes. They tested them in phase one and phase two, and you can still find those studies online. And then they kind of went quiet. And somebody speculated, or several sources had speculated back in March of last year, that perhaps what we were seeing in Wuhan with all these people that were so severely affected by this virus, perhaps they were part of the phase three clinical trial. And it went, you know, off the rails. And is that what we're going to be seeing a year or two from now when more and more people who have been vaccinated encounter the wild-type virus?
There's another thing happening. We have to take a break here. A lot of people who get this test emergency vaccine end up being positive for the virus within 10 days, 2 weeks. I'd like you to speculate on how that works. And then there's another term that we're not hearing very often. It's antibody something or another. And it's what causes a cytokine-like response. What's that term? I can't remember what it is. It's
antibody-dependent disease enhancement, which is what I just described. If that was, you know, a phase three trial that was occurring in China, you know, you had all these large numbers of people having been vaccinated, walking around thinking they're protected, and then they encounter the wild virus, and their bodies just overreact, and they die of a cytokine storm.
Yeah. Hold on a minute, if you would, Eric. I want to talk more about that. That's very important. We'll be right back with Erica Kahn in just a minute. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Erica Kahn about a lot of important things. There's a flood of information coming down all the time now, and we've got to do our best to stay on top of it. This issue we started to talk about before the break is important. It's called antibody-dependent enhancement, otherwise known as ADE. Ah, new AIDS is here. AIDE. All right. ADE. ADE occurs when the antibodies generated during an immune response recognize your antibodies. Your body produces antibodies. Remember that. That's what your immune system does. When the antibodies generated during an immune response recognize and bind to a pathogen, but they are unable to prevent infection. Instead, these antibodies act as a Trojan horse, allowing the pathogen to get into cells and exacerbate your body's immune response, as in cytokine storm. So did you follow that? It's very important. And I think this is what's going to end up causing a lot of people to become fatally ill. This can be an enormous, catastrophic, suicidal immune response. Tell us more.
I would agree. I mean, that 20 years of vaccine research on coronaviruses in animals and, well, we've never tried it in people until now, but all the animal models, it was the same thing. The mice, the ferrets, the cats, it was the same thing.
They all died.
Died. Initially, it looked like, you know, they generated, you know, a very robust immune response, and when they encountered the wild-type virus, it was almost always lethal.
That's why, again, I repeat, all the animals died. I've seen this over and over again. Every one of them died from this exact thing, ADE, antibody. It is a wonderful word, but when it gets into this kind of a configuration, No, antibody dependent enhancement. Just remember that. So you get this vaccine and you're setting yourself up for how far down the road? A year, two, three? How can we tell?
Yeah, there's no way of knowing. I mean, you know, whenever you next encounter
this
the wild
particular
virus.
Or something like this virus. Now, they could, they could release another similar virus anytime they want. We know this. And after they've gotten most of the world injected with this phase three trial, no matter what type it is, their immune response could be fatal. And there's really no way that I know of to, do you know of any way of trying to shut down the immune system when it goes this crazy or that crazy?
Well, I don't think you have any warning. I mean, once it gets underway, it's difficult to stop. I mean, you could maybe try some antivirals, but, it's not a good scene.
Mm.
And I have to, I don't want to laugh, but or shake my head when I hear these people that have gotten their vaccine and they run out to get a blood test and they're all happy that they've got antibodies now. Mm-hmm. You don't really want antibodies to this virus. I know in when I worked with cats about 25 years ago, studying coronaviruses in cats, it was the cats that had a measurable antibody titer ended up being the ones that were chronic carriers of coronaviruses, while the ones that had been exposed but they never produced an antibody, or at least not a measurable antibody, were the ones that were protected, and they were also not carriers or shedders of the virus, but they had immunity. So, the topic of antibodies, it's got to be interpreted properly. Mm-hmm. In the case of coronaviruses, they're not always protective, and in fact, they can be very deleterious.
As in deadly. This simple point that no successful vaccine for SARS was ever made ought to tell almost everybody what they need to know, but they're not being told that. They're not being informed. They're not certainly being informed at the site of the administration of the injections. This really is wrong. It's immoral, it's wrong, and it is killing people. And I don't understand how it's gotten to be so far out of hand as it is now. But it is. It seems like it's just completely wide open in the Wild West out there. You need a vaccine? Come on down. We got them. They don't tell you anything.
What's even more ludicrous is these drive-by clinics.
Yes. Drive in and get your kill shot. That's exactly what it is.
And then get behind the wheel and possibly have a stroke or a seizure. Or
and that's no joke. And that can happen within, they make people allegedly at least sit in their parked cars for 20 minutes. Isn't that the deal? There's supposed to be a 20-minute big deal, a watch over everybody who gets one of these, I call them kill shots.
Yeah. I've also heard from some clinicians who are, seeing more and more people come in with these complaints that are associated with this vaccine. But initially, they just come in with, I don't know, dizziness or, vision problems, balance problems, pain, whatever. And in the course of taking a history, the clinician notices a Band-Aid on the deltoid area of their arm and says, did you by chance have a COVID vaccine lately? And they say, oh, yes, I did. But it's not in their chart. I mean, nobody's putting it into their medical record.
Wow, what a wonderfully run phase three trial, huh? Amazing.
It's ludicrous.
It's like the Wild West, I'm telling you.
I mean, if there's no liability, who cares, right?
I guess that's it. But I still say there has to be a legal platform to go after the administer of this vaccine or the company, whatever it is. I don't know how it's being done. I don't know about the bureaucracy involved. But this no penalty thing is designed to protect the vaccine manufacturer. But I don't know if it extends to the people who are actually doing the administering and not appropriately warning or informing those who are getting the vaccines. Maybe they give them a flyer. I don't know what they're giving them. I'm not going anywhere near that. So there you go.
Yep. So one of the other things that has come to light in the past week, a couple weeks actually, is the toxicity associated with these lipid nanoparticles. These are what's known as positively charged or cationic lipid nanoparticles. And it turns out that, I mean, we've known about these things for a good 20 years, and they're very useful in terms of drug delivery, for chemotherapy, in treating cancers. And the reason they've never been used in with a vaccine is because they tend to provoke the immune response in a very detrimental way, which, you know, if you're trying to kill a tumor, kill a cancer cells, that could be to your advantage. But a lot of times they will administer an anticoagulant like heparin because they know that these lipid nanoparticles are associated with coagulopathies, meaning, you know, it causes the blood to clump. And that's what we're seeing a lot of. You know, a lot of these adverse events seem to be revolving around thrombus, pulmonary embolisms, strokes. You know, how much of that is due to these very toxic lipid nanoparticles? And the scary thing is that they persist. They are not easily eliminated. And depending on which organs or tissues or cells that uptake these things, they can do a lot of damage. They will damage, you know, all of the negatively charged components within the cell, including the mitochondria. And then you get this inflammatory response where, you know, the immune system comes along and tries to clean up these dead and dying cells.
Mm-hmm.
But for as long as these lipid nanoparticles are there, they're going to be a problem. And they're going to continue to provoke the immune system and create a horrendous oxidative stress, tons of free radicals, and possibly, you know, some sort of autoimmune disease. And
tons of free radicals. That reminds me, I should make mention here of carbon 60. That's
I know
of.
Well, yeah, if anything can get into the cell to mm-hmm. neutralize, you know, this very positively charged toxin,
mm-hmm.
I think C60 would be a very good bet. We don't know that for sure, but I mean, theoretically, I don't know anything else that could touch it, you know, other than C60. You know,
right.
maybe molecular hydrogen, but I certainly C60 can donate those electrons and maybe neutralize it so that the cell can get rid of it. But I mean, these things are nasty. They can persist for 4 to 5 months. Now, they want to give somebody a second dose of this toxin in 21 or 28 days.
Is 28? I didn't know it was 21 or 28 days.
Yeah, the first dose, and then depending on whether it's Pfizer or Moderna, the Pfizer one is 28 days, the Moderna is 21 days.
I thought it was months.
Oh, no.
I thought it was several months at least. Wow, they're just nailing you right away.
Yeah, and now Bill Gates says we're going to need dose number 3. I mean, people's immune systems are going to be destroyed.
Okay. HIV, AIDS, the immune system is destroyed there, and over 30 different hallmark severe and fatal diseases will walk in the door when there's no guard there anymore. And if your immune system is worn out fighting this nonstop production of a protein, how is it going to protect you? It's not. This is another reason to certainly take Gresca's Carbon 60. That's C-60. Numerals C-60, right? .com.
Yep.
So go and take a look, and he's got a free 8-day sample going now. We talked about that the other day, last Thursday. So you can ask for that as well. C-60.com. Could be a lifesaver, no joke.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah,
the other thing I want to ask you about. People have been asking me why can't some scientists get hold of either Pfizer or Moderna and get some of those vials, the bottles, and actually find out what the hell is in there. And the answer is independent scientists and labs could easily and would easily be threatened if they tried to do that. threatened with all kinds of things. I don't think that kind of work is going to be seen unless it's conducted overseas somewhere. I don't think you're going to see it in this country. Not for a long time,
there,
anyway.
There will probably never be an independent third-party analysis of what these things are, what's in it. But I mean, you know, it's coming out now in some of these scientific advisory boards that are reviewing the raw data for Pfizer in particular, that these things are anything but clean. The lipid nanoparticles have contaminants in them, solvent residues. The mRNA integrity is not 100%. In some cases, it's as low as 55%. So what does that mean? Well, that means it doesn't have the complete genetic sequence in order to reproduce the spike protein.
Wow.
So if you don't have the complete sequence, what are you producing? Are you producing anything? Or are you just toxifying yourself? It goes on and on. And then when they upscaled their production in order to meet, you know, the demand once it was approved for emergency use, some of the quality standards fell by the wayside, and now instead of purified mRNA, there are now trace amounts of DNA in there from the template. That's a little bit of a concern because these sequences of DNA can actually be integrated into your own DNA. They shouldn't be there. They should be purified out, but they're there. Quite a cocktail.
Okay. Corona cocktail. That's good. There's a video out there that I hope all of you have seen. If you haven't, do take a look at it. It's on the right side of the homepage under features in the first big, massive posting of really important stories about this entire virus vaccine operation, which is what it is. And the punchline is the alleged vaccine. If you'll note, at about 1 minute and 50 seconds in, the story, the documentary, switches to a nurse who was able to get some of the, not hard to do, sealed swabs that they used to take the sample with in the nose. And the original swabs were on these, they had to be 10, 12 inches long, and they pushed this all the way back in your nasal cavity up against your brain. And that has caused, in some people, some very bad problems already. Erica, what do you know about that?
I see more and more people coming forward now complaining about, you know, they had a nasal swab test and the swab went up the wrong way or too far in, and now they've got, they feel ill. They have flu-like symptoms that they can't seem to shake. In some cases, that cribriform plate must have been punctured in some fashion, which is the high end of your sinus. They call it the brain pan. But it was punctured to the point where they now have a cerebral spinal fluid leak. In other words, you know, instead of mucus coming out of their nose, it's a clear fluid. And it doesn't stop. It just, you know, there's no way to seal it. All for a coronavirus test, supposedly.
Right. Now, here's another thing. If you've seen the documentary, you'll know that that nurse, and bless her for what she did, took a package or two of these swabs out and pulled the tip, so-called cotton tip, apart and video recorded what she saw. I'm going to play just a little bit of this, and I think you'll get the idea. You need to watch this entire video. It's very important. This is about the it's just about 10 minutes in. 10 minutes.
Its interaction with the lymphatic system. So the billion-dollar question, are we being tested or vaccinated and nano-chipped without consent?
I wanted to show you guys something. I got a couple tests, a couple COVID tests from a friend.
She's talking about the COVID test, the swabs, okay?
And I wanted to break them down and see what was in these COVID tests. What were they really doing in these COVID tests? Do you see the COVID test as tip wrapped with traditional fiber? Well, this fiber that's on here is the same fiber that comes out of my body. These are nanoparticles. I'm going to show you up close.
She's basically admitting that she is a Morgellons sufferer. She said, these are the same nanoparticles that come out of my body. She will have lesions, and these nanoparticles or fibers are coming out of her body. So she's well familiar with that. So she's taken the tip of this apart, pulled it apart, the white cottony tip.
Do you see that silver? That's a silver color. There we go. See how that silver? There's a regular cotton Q-tip. That one's white. But this swab right here is a legit COVID test. And I broke it down. And these are the same particles that come out of my body. These are nanoparticles. These particles are alive and they move. I just broke it down here. Michael, hold this right here. That's the silver fiber. That's what's the COVID Q-tip. It's shiny, it's silver, and they're alive.
And you can see them moving. She's holding it with a pair of tweezers and video recording it. They're moving all over the place. They are, quote, alive. They're propelled by probably the body's own energy once they get inside, but they have their own innate energy to begin with, and they move, and they look for something to grab onto, and you can see this right in the video. So when you get these swab tests, as the gentleman said who was narrating before this lady started, you could be getting far more than you would imagine. You could get these little fibers, which will work their way right into your body and go to where they're supposed to and do what they're supposed to do. They are created one atom at a time. They're nano. One more little lesson here.
You see that, people? Do you see them silver particles? That's all this. That's this. Right here, they don't even want to let go. That's not cotton. This is cotton. This is the COVID. This is a regular Q-tip. See, the regular Q-tip, it's not shiny at all. It's white. Put it next to that. You see the difference in material? One's shiny, one's cotton. This is cotton. And where are your nanoparticles?
Okay, she's calling the little fibers nanoparticles. That's fine, just so you understand. And these have been looked at under high magnification back when I was doing all the programs on Morgellons 15 years ago. And Jan Smith found them. She recorded them in a video posture as well. They are full. It's like a tube with little round eggs in it, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And the implication is rather obvious. It's a delivery tube full of little nano bots, little nano devices. That's what's in the nasal swab. At least in her case, she found them in the nasal swab she got, and it was wrapped up and sealed like all the rest of them. She's a nurse. So, Erica, we may be getting much of the same nano from the swab test as we are from the kill shot.
Yeah, I was suspicious from the PCR test right from the get-go. I mean, I knew from my own, you know, education and experience that you don't use a PCR test to diagnose anything. It's not a diagnostic. And in the absence of clinical symptoms, it's meaningless. So I was suspicious about it from the beginning. And then when I saw the 6-inch swab going, you know, way up next to somebody's brain plate, I knew something's not right. Something's not right. And then if you look at the test kits, they were saying that, you know, a buccal swab would have done, you know, was acceptable as a specimen collection point. You know, there was no need for a 6-inch swab going that far up somebody's sinus cavity. There just wasn't. And if you think about it, you know, if that's where the virus is hiding or incubating or replicating that far up, why do we need to wear masks that cover our mouths?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. It's all crazy. Okay. I hope all of you out there are aware of what's going on, or you wouldn't be listening. I'm sure most of you are. try to share this, go look for that documentary. It's called Once We Were Living. It's on the right-hand side. It's about an hour and 40 minutes worth every moment of it. It'll tell you the whole story. It's right there. Erica, thank you very much again for being here and contributing. I appreciate learning as you learn more about this all the time. So we'll stay in touch.
Likewise, Jeff. Thank you.
We'll talk. Okay, good night.
Okay, good night.
Erica Kahn, MIT scientist graduate, and knows her stuff. We'll be back in a few minutes with the inimitable, the one and only, Catherine Austin Fitz. We'll be right back.